It's all about prayer today, amen? Should be every day, amen? Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that that our prayers are a conversation in our relationship with you, Father God, each and every day. We thank you that we can be persistent in our prayer, knowing that you are going to answer our prayers, Lord. Whether in this life or the next, we know you will always have an answer for our prayers. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the strength that you give us. We thank you for the peace that you give us and the hope that you give us, Lord, through our prayers. We thank you for the strength that's in our prayers for others. And we just ask that that your Holy Spirit opens our hearts and our minds today, enters us, opens our hearts and minds to this message, Father God, that we may be reminded to never give up and always be persistent in our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So persistence in prayer can be hard for a lot of us. Amen. Bill Hybels tells about an interesting experience he had after a baptism service in their church. He writes that he bumped into a woman in the stairwell who was crying. And he thought this was a little odd since the service had been so joyful and everybody was happy about all the baptisms. So he asked her, he said, are you okay? Are you all right? And she said, no, I'm struggling. She said, my mom was baptized today. She said, I prayed for her every day for almost 20 years. The reason I'm crying is because I came this close to giving up on her. At the 5-year mark, I said, who needs this? God isn't listening. At the 10-year mark, I said, why am I wasting my breath? And at the 15-year mark, I said, this is absurd. And at the 19-year mark, I said, I'm just a fool. But I kept on trying. I kept on trying. I kept on praying. Even with weak faith, I kept praying. Then her mother gave her life to Christ. And she was baptized today. She said, I will never doubt the power of prayer ever again. Amen? Sometimes when we pray and pray, we feel like our prayers are never going to be answered. So we stop. We stop praying. Sometimes we correspondingly diminish our desires and our dreams. We stop believing that God cares, and we stop thinking that He's going to act on our behalf. I hope that you will all trust God's love and concern for you and His ability as well. And I hope that we all continue to be persistent in our prayers. Amen? Persistent in our prayers, no matter how discouraging the circumstances may seem. God is listening to us. Amen. So our text today, the first parable, there's two parables today. The first one's about the parable of the persistent widow. Amen? And the verse says that, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Jesus is telling this first parable in today's text so that his followers would always pray and not lose heart. Now, I know a lot of us have been tempted to give up and lose heart and our faith because of what we think as unanswered prayers. Amen? We tend to give up. So this is a very important passage for all of us to study and for all of us to take heart, to always be persistent in our prayers. We have to remember that prayer is hard work. Amen? Prayer is hard work and should not be approached lightly. It's hard work because it's powerful. And the devil knows that. The devil knows our prayers are powerful. And so the devil's going to try to convince us all that God's not listening to us. When we're waiting for our prayers to be answered, the devil will tell you, oh, he's not listening to you. And in time, we start to look at prayer as a last resort. Amen? Rather than a first resource. We think, we wait until everything's crashing and burning, and then we're crying out to the Lord, right? Well, even the world does that. Amen? Amen? We need to use it as a first resource. We should be praying about everything. We must remember that prayer also is a conversation with God. It's part of our relationship. It's a conversation. It's not just about, Lord, gimme, 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 right? It's a conversation. We should also be letting God know how we're doing, right? How are we doing? Let him know how we're doing. Ask him what he's going to have us do next, right? I have a lot of people lately asking for prayer about asking what the Lord's going to have them do next. Amen? That's a big part of prayer. And giving him praise and thanks for everything he's done for us too. You know, gratitude's a big part of our prayer. And then asking him, you know, what's he going to have us do next? This is all part of our prayer life. And in verse 2, he said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what other people thought. It doesn't sound like the kind of judge we want to face in court. Amen? This is for the people that have been in trouble, okay? Have you ever been in a courtroom waiting to see the judge and you got like four or five people ahead of you, right? And you can just tell what kind of judge he is, right? If he cares about the people or if he's throwing the book at everybody, amen? And just sitting there going, oh man, here comes my turn, right? Yeah, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can tell if he really cares or if he just wants to throw the book at you. But, you know, the only words we really want to hear in that situation is, time served, right? Or you're free to go. Sorry, Christine, I didn't mean to look at you, but time served, or you're free to go, or the widow just wanted justice. It's about justice. Whether it's for us, for somebody else, it's about justice. That's what we want when we go to see a judge, right? We want justice. Verse 3 says, there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, coming to the judge, saying, grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me. So in this picture, we see not only a woman, amen, but we see a widow who in this culture would be one of the weakest people in town, amen. She was a woman, she was single, she was a widow. So Jesus is painting a picture of a weak person coming before a judge that doesn't care about anybody. That's the picture here. And so it's a difficult situation, and this woman knew it was going to be a hard situation for her, hard for her to receive justice. So she kept coming back. She was persistent. She kept coming back over and over again, crying out in desperation. But this judge didn't care. He showed no compassion for the woman. And in time, though, he grew tired. He grew tired of hearing her keep coming back, right? And it appears that he was a little fearful, too, right? He said he didn't want her to come back and come after him, right? So he would grant her justice for the wrong reasons, but he would grant her justice. Remember, this is a parable of contrast, okay? The opposite of what our just judge Father God is like when we come to him with petitions. That's what this story is. It's the opposite. Amen? This is a reminder that we must not give up on our prayers. Like this woman, we need to keep coming back with our petitions to God. Amen? Don't give up on our prayers because God's never going to fail to respond to us or wait until he's tired of hearing our petitions. Amen? That's not how he works. We must be persistent in our prayers no matter how long it takes. Our prayers may not, like I said earlier, may not even be answered in this life. Amen? We must be persistent in our prayers. Never cease to pray because God is good all the time. Regardless of our situation, what we're going through, what we're dealing with, God is still good. Amen? God is still good. Charles Spurgeon wrote, he said, sometimes it does seem to us that God is reluctant to answer our prayers. Yet the delays in prayer are not needed to change God, but to change us. Amen? He's making us wait to change us. Persistence in prayer brings a transforming element into our lives, building us into the character of God himself. It's a way that God builds into us a heart that cares about things the same way he does. Sanctification, amen, through our prayers. I say this all the time. We may not be ready for God's answers. We may not be ready for God to answer our prayers. He may be preparing us. But through this persistent prayer, we're being transformed day by day. We're being transformed until the answer comes. And in verse 6, the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. He says, you know, this judge, he didn't fear God. He didn't care what people thought. He didn't even care about this widow. He just wanted to get her off his back. That's what it was about for him. He was answering her petition because he wanted her off his back. But our God and our judge is just and he's merciful. The exact opposite of this judge, amen? He's just, he's merciful, he cares about our needs, and he hears every prayer that we pray. He hears every prayer. The Lord sees every tear, and he feels our pain because Jesus came to live and experience our pain. Jesus knows our pain. He loves us, and he's a just judge when it comes to our prayers. He is just. Verse 7 says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Who are his chosen ones? That's us, amen? We are his chosen ones. It says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and get it quickly. Jesus is saying that in contrast to this God-hating judge that he's talking about, our God is going to hear our prayers day and night. He will not keep putting them off as the unjust judge would, but it will be in his timing. Amen? We must be persistent because it's going to be in God's timing, not in our timing. In his timing. And we must be patient. But he also promises that justice is going to come quickly. Okay? Justice is going to come quickly. You see, our God is a just God, and he may not always seem fair. Okay? But he is always going to be just. We may not always like his answers to our prayers either. Amen? He may answer our prayers, but we might not like it. But he's still just. He's still a good God. Because he loves us. He's our just judge. And then the rest of verse 8 says that, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is to say that few will have the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for when he returns. Few will have that kind of faith. David Guzik said that this ties Jesus' thought to his words about his coming at the end of the previous chapter. Unless we know who God is, being not like the unjust judge, and unless we are people who pray without losing heart, we don't yet have the kind of faith that Jesus is going to be looking for when he returns. Just like we talked about at the end of the last chapter last week, when Jesus returns for his chosen, don't be one of those left behind. Don't be one of those left behind. Remember, Jesus said one's going to be lying in the bed, right? And one's going to be taken. Be sure we have the kind of faith it takes to be persistent in prayer so that we may be with the Lord forever. That's the kind of prayer we need to have. Because Jesus is saying that kind of faith is going to be rare, like in the time of Noah. Amen? Only 8 were saved. Only 8 in the whole world. And in the destroying of the city of Sodom. I'm going to say 3 people in this service because I said 4 in the last one. I said, but it was only 3 that made it. I said, 4 got out of town, okay? But that's the persistent belief, faith, right? Prayer that we're called to have. Because few are going to have it, is what the Lord's saying. Few are going to have what Jesus is looking for when he returns. So I pray that we all achieve that rare faith, amen, that the Lord's going to be looking for. Parable number 2, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Verse 9 says that to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. We know Jesus is referring to the Pharisees, amen? He's talking about the Pharisees. But many of us have also known people like this, amen? We've also known people like this, people who trust in themselves, in their works, in their religion, in their status, maybe even in their upbringing for their salvation. Amen? They trust in themselves for their salvation. People who, when you ask them, how do you know you're going to heaven? They say things like, well, I was raised in the church. Of course I'm going to heaven. Right? Or, I'm a praying man. I go to church every Sunday. Of course I'm going to heaven. These are people who are confident in their own self-proclaimed righteousness. Amen? And these same people can talk bad about the faith of others just to lift themselves up. Ephesians 2:9 says, not by works so that none may boast. Amen? It's a free gift. It's not by our works. It's something we receive. We need only to receive it. In verse 10, the parable says that two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and one was a tax collector. So we have the most righteous of all righteous, right? The Pharisee, amen? And then we have the lowest of the lowest, the tax collector, which today would equate to a traitor against his people, or maybe a IRS agent, amen? Or both. So definitely hated in the culture. They were hated in the culture, the lowest of the low. But how would God see these two? Amen? That's the key. How was God going to see these two? Verse 11 says, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, like the robbers and the evildoers and the adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector, he stood at a distance. Get a picture? He stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. He's got his head bowed. He beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. There's no part of our life that sin isn't going to try to invade. Amen? And that's what's happening here, right? There's no part of our life that sin's not going to try to invade. It will even follow you into this house of God. Amen? It'll follow you into your prayers. It'll follow you into your worship. And if your faith is not strong, you could be in trouble. Amen? Of course, when the Holy Spirit gets in, when the sin comes in here, it's going to turn around and run when it sees the Holy Spirit. Amen? But the sin will follow you. Amen? It will follow you. It'll follow all parts of your life and tempt you daily. And it says this first man stood alone and he prayed. But it sounds sort of like he was praying to himself, right? Sounds like he was praying to himself. You know, many people direct their prayers at themselves or even others when they should be praying to the Father. Every prayer should be to the Father. People even use prayers to get at other people or to get a point across. Amen? But it's not. It's a conversation with the Father. Directing your prayers at anyone other than God. Yes, we pray for people, but directing your actual prayers to anyone other than God is wrong. Amen? It's not a tool for us to use for our own purpose. It's a conversation with God and a petition to God. This Pharisee is praying to himself as unbelievers often do. Matthew 6 verses 5 and 6 says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. That's the way we need to pray always. Amen? Whether we're in a church full of people, by ourselves, or praying for someone, we always pray to the Father. I believe this applies to today's message by telling us that no matter where we're at, amen, it's not meant to impress others. It's not meant to get a point across to somebody. No matter where we're at or who's around, we're talking to God. We're talking to God. It's a relationship. So these two men had something in common, okay? They had some things in common. They both went up to the temple to pray, right? And they were both sinners. We know that. But the difference is that one was an honest sinner and one was a dishonest sinner. Even if he was just being dishonest with himself. One was honest, one was dishonest. One was petitioning God, and the other one was additioning for himself. Right? Petitioning God and additioning for himself. And of course, the Pharisee is the one who's all about himself, right? He says, he's got all these I statements, right? I am not like other people. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get, right? He's all about him. I. But the tax collector, who was the greater sinner in everybody's eyes but God, he was standing at a distance in reverence for God. He didn't even want to look up. He's looking down in reverence for God. Amen? And he would beat his breast and ask God, please have mercy on me. That's what God wants to hear. That's the kind of prayer God wants us to pray. Please have mercy on me. A prayer of repentance and a prayer in humility. We don't have to prove anything or give God any conditions when we pray. We need only admit that we're sinners and ask for mercy while receiving the grace that we don't deserve. Verse 14 says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Justified before God, and he said, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. The Pharisee, of course, was exalting himself in the way he prayed, in the way he dressed, the way he treated others. It was all about him. Remember, he said, or even like this tax collector, right? God doesn't want us to compare ourselves to others. We all have our own faith, amen? He doesn't want us comparing ourselves to others. God just wants us to be more and more like him. That's what he wants. It's not about being better than others. It's about being more, it's about sanctification, amen? Being more and more like God every day. But the tax collector displayed true humbleness by seeing himself as a sinner and needing God's mercy. He went to the Lord humbly. That's what true humbleness is. Seeing things for what they are and living in the truth. Amen? That's this year's mission statement, right? Living in the truth. The truth will set us free. We will never gain anything and quite possibly lose everything if we keep coming to God in a lie of pride. Come to God in truth, always. And Jesus, of course, was the truest example of humbleness, right? When the King of Kings came and he washed the feet of the disciples. Next slide. He was showing us humbleness, amen? He was being an example for us. Our Lord of Lords, the Savior, humbled himself to wash the feet of his disciples. So as you live your lives for Christ, never forget, whoever lifts themselves up will be lowered, and whoever lowers and humbles themselves will be lifted up. Follow the example of Jesus Christ. Now we get to our children. Verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked him. Now, this was not some paparazzi, right, or Roman soldiers trying to get to Jesus, right? These were babies. These were kids. They were bringing the kids to Jesus. And the disciples were rebuking the parents and telling them, no, leave them alone. They had been with Jesus all this time, But apparently they didn't know his heart, at least not all of his heart, right? Especially his heart for children. Besides, it was the custom of the time for parents to bring their children to the rabbis for prayer. That's what they did. Now, we do that here as pastors as well. Amen? We pray for children all the time. Even up to or including when we have infant baptisms or dedications to the church. Amen? We're praying for our children as a family of God. We're bringing our children into the church and praying for them. It's a powerful way to pray for our child's future. Verse 16 says, Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." This is a reminder of how important children and the children's ministry are to the church. Amen? It's very important. Me and my wife have always believed that the children's ministry in our church is a very important part of our mission. It can be a difficult task sometimes, trying to keep it going and it's difficult. Children's ministry can be tough at times, amen? But we finally have some true leaders, and we've been patient, and the Lord has provided, amen? Praise God. We should always, though, encourage our children in the Lord. Always. If they come to us, if they want to come to Jesus, encourage it. If they have questions about the Lord, answer them. Spend time talking to your children about their faith, no matter how young they are. Do as these parents were doing in today's text and bring your children to Christ as soon as you can. It's never too early, amen? Bring them as soon as you can. Charles Spurgeon, I love this, he said, "Before a child reaches 7, teach him all the way to heaven. Better still, the work will thrive if he learns before he's 5. Amen? Love it. I can remember all of my granddaughters lifting their hands in praise before the age of 2. Right here in this church. I remember my granddaughter, Adi, she was living with us, of course, and she was barely, not even a year and a half yet, right? Listening to 10,000 Reasons on the radio, right? We're playing it. And I come in the room, and she's standing here going like this. She can't even talk yet. She's doing this to the song, right? And I was like, wow. I got it on video, too. I'll show you guys sometime. But that's, you know, they're never too young to praise God. Amen? She couldn't even really talk yet, and she's praising God. It was amazing. And we've seen many kids do it here in the church. Amen? We don't lift their arms up. They just start praising God. Amen? Encourage those things. Let them know that it's wonderful to praise God at any age. Also, when they have questions about Jesus, be sure to answer their questions at length. You know, give them time. Answer their questions. And for those of you who don't know, you'll be surprised at how early they can start to love and learn the love of Christ, even at 1 year old. Amen? Verse 17 says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Unlike the tax collector in the last parable that we read, children innocently receive the blessing of Jesus without trying to make themselves worthy of it or pretending like they don't need it. Amen? That's the innocence that he's talking about. That's the kind of innocence that we're called to have when we come to Jesus. Amen? Jesus, or when we come to God. Jesus is saying that we need to receive God's blessings in the same way as these children are receiving God's blessings. We can have so many, as adults, we can have so many preconceived ideas of how we should approach God. And those ideas can get in the way. Amen? Those ideas can get in the way of our petition and of our relationship. So open your hearts to receive God's word and approach the Lord with the same innocent, capacity to trust and love what God has in store for us. Come to Him as in the trust and the love that children have. Amen? We know how different that is, right? Amen? Be persistent in prayer. Never giving up hope. Humble yourselves that the Lord may lift us up and receive the kingdom of God with the heart of a little child. Amen? Receive it with the heart of a little child. And in doing all this, I pray that it is well with all your souls. Amen? Praise God. Let us pray.